So, Raven, a new poll asked people what's the maximum distance they'd consider, quote unquote, walking distance.
Mm.
What do you think that is?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, walking distance is just something like you're going to park here and then you're going to go enjoy something. Or walking distance is like you could walk this far if you needed to survive.
Well, not to survive. But like if somebody said like, oh, do I need to take a car? You're like, no, it's walking distance. It's how far? How long?
OK, so yeah. To me, that's got to be like 5 minutes max, 5 to 10 minutes max. And when I say 10 minutes, I really want it to be like 8 minutes. You know what I mean? Because anything over 8 minutes, I'm probably going to sweat a little bit or feel a little bit grimy or smell like exhaust from the cars driving by. Because, you know, that's how people get places.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'm going to stink by the time I get to the place I'm going.
I was at a Mexican restaurant past Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And me and the girls had plans that we were going to have our margaritas and then we were going to Uber home, right?
Okay, yeah.
But then we decided that the better idea was for us to walk home and giggle the entire way as if we were high school girls.
Okay? Well, I mean, at least there's a group of you, so it's safe. So, okay.
And I said my house was walking distance. And there was a disagreement amongst us about what walking distance is, because for me, it is 1.3 miles away from my house.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You made your friends walk 1.3 miles?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that would be the last time I followed you anywhere ever in our entire life.
It
Do
was
you realize
so
that?
Much fun. It was so much
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a lot of fun.
My husband, who originally was like, oh, call me if you guys need a ride. If you don't want an Uber, I'll come grab you girls. He like called me and he's like, where are you? I'm like, by City Hall.
are you kidding me? That's insane.
Yeah, no, yeah.
No.
So it took us about, you know, leisurely walking. It took us about, I would say, 25, 30 minutes or so.
Who goes for a 30-minute walk to go somewhere? Nobody.
It was like 9:30 at night,
too. If you're at like Yellowstone Park or something, you're touring, and they close parks at night. You're walking through downtown areas. That's great. How many of there were you?
There's the three of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Was any of you carrying a knife?
No.
Oh.
No, we had our clutches with us. It was, you know, Friday night, girls' night.
Oh, my gosh.
But they, according to the poll, they said 27% of people said within 30 minutes is walking distance, which we fall into that.
Yeah.
That
you're
was
lucky
the most popular
fall.
Response. All right, 27% said 20 minutes is quote-unquote walking distance.
That's better, at least.
17% said 15 minutes. And I can't believe only 5% of people said walk 5 minutes is walking distance.
That's
five
walking
minutes.
Distance to me. 5 minutes.
That is ridiculous.
5 minutes. Get me from the furthest space at the biggest stadium parking lot to the front gate. That's as far as I'm willing to go. This ain't Woodstock or anything. Come on.
That's ridiculous. If I'm letting you know right now, if you're out to dinner with me and I say it's walking distance, you better be wearing sneakers. We're going at least a mile.
Oh, my gosh.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
All this week it's the Anna and Raven Roadshow. Ryan Breckland from NestEggAuction.com. He's an auctioneer and appraiser. You sent in all your items to my email. I have thousands of emails. We went through them and we picked out the most interesting ones. Now, Carrie Ann submitted a picture and information about a roasted peanut machine. What is this about, Ryan?
Whoa. This is actually a coin-op vending machine. Dates back to probably the early 20th century, somewhere in the 1910s and 1920s. And it's from Butter-Kissed Peanuts.
Did you just swear? Watch your language. All right. This is a family show.
It's a coin-op machine. So in a country store or a general store, you would see something like this on the counter. It had a motor. It was keeping the peanuts warm that are in there, maybe a little greasy, so they looked attractive to
Delicious.
Purchase. Mm-hmm. You'd throw a nickel in there, and it would vend the peanuts for you to have a snack while you're shopping in the store. There are different sizes of this one. A floor-standing model, something like, imagine that popcorn machine you see at the movies, the big tall one standing on the floor. Sizes for that can bring $5,000 to $10,000.
Wow.
Yep.
How about the one that she sent?
This one, if it's working and everything's there and it's present and you can flip it on and the light and the motor and everything work, you'd see somewhere in the $1,000 to $1,500 range for this.
Wow. That's great.
That's a nice score.
Yeah.
I love peanuts. As a consolation prize. I mean, you know, everybody that you show it to prove that it's working, you get a scoop full of peanuts every time you show it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, look, see, I took some. Now you take some. That's cool. I'll take some more.
You know, that's where the phrase came from. When somebody said, oh, that's nothing, it's just peanuts. So with peanuts, they were incredibly cheap to farm. They were incredibly cheap to get to market, so they cost nothing. That's why the phrase said, oh, that's just peanuts. All the money in the peanut business came from marketing them. So they had to put machines on top of the counter. They had to invent Mr. Peanut. They had to come up with brand names to actually sell the peanuts because they were so profitable.
Wow.
Fascinating stuff.
All right, we're going to have more from Ryan Brecklin all this week. You can find him online at nesteggauction.com.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What is that thing that drives you nuts? This is your chance to get it off your chest. You can call 1-800-330-9999. Raven. If you try to defend the fact that you're wearing a fanny pack by calling it a belt bag, that's all I need to know about you.
Changing the name, don't change the product. But, you know, I mean, just be fanny pack proud if you're doing it. I mean, some people have been rocking that thing back. Who did it? When did you see it?
Oh, I was had my sorority reunion this past weekend, which FYI, News 8 of 5 till I die.
Okay.
What up?
Yeah, great.
What up, ladies? Anyway, so we were hanging out, and one of my girlfriends, Joanne, she shows up, and she's got this fly fanny pack on. I think it looks hot, right?
I mean, it's a thing again, right? Yes. Like, I mean, I think like Gucci and people are selling these things.
It was 100% a Gucci one.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's great. But like, here's the thing about sorority sisters. It doesn't matter that we've been out of college for 20 something years. We are relentless when it comes
to
each other. You have to be.
I mean, if a fanny pack shows up, no matter what group you're with.
100%.
I don't care if it's a local union. I don't care if you got pipe fitters, you're a group of firefighters, office workers, no matter what, you're tearing on that person.
It took 20 seconds for her to walk in the door to be like, nice fanny pack, Joe. Nice fanny pack.
Right.
And it's a belt bag. You can call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
It will always be a fanny pack.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it costs $300 either. But it's convenient to put all your stuff in there, right?
I was saying, like, that must be so nice on your shoulders. You just give your shoulders
right,
a break.
My wife is always like, do I bring the purse? Do I bring the crossbody? I go nuts just watching her go back and forth between these bags every day. If she had one fanny pack.
I'm not going to lie. I would really like a fanny pack. But I'd also have to call it a belt bag.
Take it back to the street here, Anna. If you think double parking everywhere you go is no biggie, that's all I need to know about you. There's a parking space for a reason. Get inside the lines, person. Mm-hmm. All right. The parking lots are tight enough at this point. There's nothing worse than me having to drive past 8 different parking spaces that have been allotted for curbside pickup. You've got 17 different spots for infant children and stroller people and all that. And then, you know, you get back there and then there's somebody with a truck that's taking up 3 parking spaces. It's not that nice of a truck.
It's not. And take it from somebody that does not know how to park their car.
Yeah.
I constantly get out, evaluate the situation, see that I've screwed up, and get back in the car and do the park shame. You know, like with like the park, like it's like the walk of shame, but it's the park of shame.
Yes.
And the park of shame and reverse and pull back.
Yeah, you have to do a K-turn to get into a parking space straight up.
The other day, my 13-year-old daughter was standing there horrified.
Yeah.
Well, it took me 3 times. You're still not in the lines, mommy. And I was like, I know, but I'm a hero and I'm going to stand here and do this until I get it right.
Yeah. Have you started teaching your daughter how to drive yet?
No, I'm scared.
Yeah,
she's only 13.
She can't be as bad as you. She can't be worse anyways.
Knock on wood. What are you, crazy? Say that out loud.
Saying, get in your parking space.
What is the thing that drives you crazy? 1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
That isn't true.
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't want to go where everybody knows my name. This became evident yesterday when I walked into my waxing place. I have a standing appointment. Every 2 weeks I go to get waxed, right?
Because if you don't,
Raven,
wow.
Please. All right.
I mean, standing every 2 weeks.
That's
okay.
About enough of that.
I don't know what the frequency is typically, but that sounds like pretty often to me, but all right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But here's the problem that I don't know what is wrong with me.
Okay.
The last 3 times I've walked into this appointment, I've gone at the wrong time. And I walk in and they're like, Anna, you're an hour early again. Yesterday was, Anna, you're 30 minutes early. And I'm like, come on. Like, what is wrong with me? I put it in my phone when we discuss it, almost to the point where I would think that they're messing with me, but then I check the confirmation text and know I'm wrong. I'm 100% wrong every single time.
Are you early every time or are you late sometimes?
No, I'm always early.
That's better than nothing.
Yeah, but it's annoying because I have other things to do and I'm rushing around and now I have to sit there for 30 minutes. So I was thinking about it because they're like, no, Anna. And it's like, these are one of the few places in my life where everybody knows my name. Like all those wax people know my name.
Right. It means that you're welcome there. So you can walk in there, basically, and anybody will try and take care of you. They're going to try and hook you up. So you don't want to disrespect that situation.
I mean, it's not like they care. It's just like, you know, now I have to stand around, wait, make small talk like a weirdo. Yeah. Like, you know, how was your bikini wax?
Just handle my waxing services and send me on my way, please.
But then I was thinking about it. I'm like, between the waxing place and my nail salon, those are literally the only two places where everybody knows my name.
Yeah.
Outside of work, obviously, and home.
Well, and it's a bummer to like embarrass yourself at a spot like that. I did that last week, actually. I played guitar at this local music hall that I always play guitar at. Mm-hmm. And then I left at the end of the night and I left all my gear, all of my stuff right there, which is like, if you're a musician, that's the most amateur move you could possibly do. And I didn't realize it either until one of the guys who works there texts me and he goes, hey, John, I put your stuff backstage. I don't know if you realize this, but you left all of your things right there. And it's
the ultimate disregard as a musician, right? It's like coming in and you didn't pick up your stuff. You hung out in my living room and you left.
And it's childish too. And they all know it's my stuff. They all know who I am. They know how to get in touch with me. And they know just by looking at it, like, oh, John had too many drinks and then he just completely left his stuff.
They're like, producer John's drunk again. Like, that's 100%
My exact words in the message to the guy was, this is why I don't drink on a weekday.
Right.
Right. But you had.
I did.
I would much rather be known at a venue like that. Like, I go to my old job. I worked at a supermarket, so I got to go there to shop, and everyone knows me there.
Yes.
And it's always the same question every time I go. They're always like, hey, Sean, when are you coming back?
I thought it was going to be like, what aisle is the mayonnaise in?
No, I do get that, though.
You still want to know where it is that you're going, right?
But it's mainly, though, when are you coming back? And it's like, I can't find. It's in my town. I don't want to go anywhere else to shop.
Yeah. I mean, you clearly have so much regard for your former coworkers based on that voice you're using.
You know who you are.
Yeah. It's Home Depot or Napa with me, basically. I walk in the place and it's like, you know, I've got this old van that, you know, is with the company. So every time I go in there, it's like, all right, something for the 96 again. It's like most kids that are in there talking to me about the van, they're younger than the actual van itself.
It's embarrassing.
But they know exactly who I am. And then at Home Depot, I'm the guy that's just kind of wandering the aisles all the time.
Raven's here again.
Yeah. I'm not the conversation maker, but if you engage with me, I'm there for you the entire time.
I feel like any place that everyone knows your name, it's not always a good place for that, right? How would you like a 3.5-year-old child to be the cuddly, sweet thing that wakes you up on the weekends? Doesn't that sound fantastic, Raven?
No, it's not tops of my list, no.
There's this list that's trending, is top things that wake you up in the morning.
Okay.
Right. On the list is drink coffee, take a hot shower, stretching, meditation. Don't you feel like everybody's talking about waking up and meditating lately? I feel like all these people I talk to,
we're missing the boat.
We are definitely missing the boat. Yeah. These people can fly at this point.
Yeah, if we had more time, honestly, I mean, I might be ruler of the planet if I was doing some meditation. Maybe it might be good for the rest of the planet that I'm not meditating, all right? Because if I was focused, I could be dangerous, frankly.
Have a glass of juice, put some music on, make your bed. All these things sound lovely. These are the things that get you up and going in the morning. Lately, not during the week because I have to get up way before my kids or my husband ever see the light of day.
Sure.
But on the weekends, the only 2 days that I get to sleep late, my 3.5-year-old Dakota has realized that she is not trapped in her big girl bed, that she has the luxury to get her little tushy out and she can walk and wake me up.
Run right down the hallway to come see you.
Right.
And I'm sure she does so like an angel, right?
Oh, of course. Like, it's so sweet. You hear the coming down the hallway, right? You know, and if you're a parent, you know, you hear them. And then she gets as close to my face as possible. And then she does this.
Wake up, Mommy.
She screams at the top of her lungs. Now, I want you to know that I recorded that this weekend just so you could get the full effect. It is so high-pitched that it distorts when I play it on the air. Listen.
Wake up, Mommy.
I feel like it might be triggering something in my brain, some sort of twitch. I'd be careful how many times you hit that thing.
The octave on how loud it gets and how screeching in my face. I jump up it terrifies me.
Sure, right. It's going to kill you someday.
I'm looking at this list and I'm like, nobody else wakes up that way? That's not the best way to wake up in the morning?
No, I'm more like a cold water on your face, like stereotypical, like, cop hungover type movie from the 80s where he's like got to, put cold water and ice on his face just so he can survive.
Wait a minute,
and go
really?
See his boss.
That's what you do? You're the cold water
I'm the cold
splasher?
Water guy, yeah. Then I take the dogs out and whatnot. You know, I've got to carry one down the stairs at this point right now because his leg's busted or whatever, and then I turn on the TV for them and I get them breakfast. So all my functions is basically to make sure that somebody else stays alive, which I would imagine is a lot like another parent.
Would you rather do this? I mean, what is that? If we play it backwards, I'm relatively it's like lyrics to a song when you play backwards and it's Satan. I think that's what this is.
Helter Skelter in reverse.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I have glass in my forehead, but I feel like something just shattered.
Mm-hmm. How often do you put on deodorant? So yesterday this came up. I put on my deodorant every morning and every night. Twice a day I put on deodorant.
That's wacky.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It's a lot. Yeah.
It's wacky, man.
Raven, how often do you put on deodorant?
Every morning. I mean, with the amount of stuff that you know about deodorant. And the truth is that over the last few years, I've wanted to use it less and less. If
really?
It's just me, if it's me at home, if I'm working in the yard or whatever, stuff like that, I don't put it on. And you know what? I used to put it on heavier than I do now because it's so bad for you, but yet you got to go to work, you got to function.
Yep.
I don't brush my teeth with baking soda either. I just can't be one of those people. I don't know why. It's not in me to do that. So yeah, I'm not quite the lumberjack.
I didn't even know the baking soda was a thing. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, toothpaste. How often do you put on deodorant, John?
Every time I shower. Well, after I shower.
Do you shower every day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not good for you, but that's a conversation for another time.
Me and Anna are people that don't shower every day.
We don't.
Usually.
Yeah. We shower every
I'm
other day.
I'm sitting in the same studio with you. I know.
Don't you?
We
act
don't
like
smell.
No.
I put on deodorant twice a day, you weirdos. Yeah.
Guys, keep that up.
Sean, you were just saying that you tried that natural deodorant. So this is the whole thing. They keep talking about how deodorant is not good for you.
Aluminum.
I recently learned, and people were surprised that I didn't know this, but maybe you didn't know it either, that there's a difference between deodorant and antiperspirant. So deodorant just masks odor, and antiperspirant reduces how much you actually sweat. So both of them are not supposed to be good, which is why you keep hearing about these all-natural remedies. And you'll know they're the all-natural ones when you walk into Walmart and they cost triple what the regular deodorant costs.
I just like, whenever I hear about things that are all-natural or organic, I just like to think to myself, the Neanderthals, all right? The natives, the people that were walking this land and hunting buffalo and, saber-toothed tigers back in the day or whatever.
You think they put on antiperspirant?
I don't think that they ever grabbed a handful of flowers and was like, let me stick this in my pit to make sure I smell good. I don't think they cared.
Sean, you went and bought the natural one. What happened?
I did. We had the conversation yesterday. I was like, I should really be more conscious about the deodorant I bought. So I bought it after I got out of the shower. I tried it and it burned my underarms. I was not a fan. Yeah. It only lasted for like a good minute, but when I first initially put
it on, minute was hell.
I wanted to throw it. I was like,
That's the longest night of your life.
The alcohol content maybe could be doing that, but sometimes when you switch something, it just burns anyways. Should let it burn a little bit longer, if it wears off.
I found this lady on the internet. Listen to her solution to not using deodorant.
I'm not ready to give up wearing something under my arms. And the solution for me has been lemon or lime juice. It's natural. It's biodegradable. It lightens your underarms. It kills bacteria. It helps exfoliate your skin naturally.
How does a lemon help exfoliate your skin naturally anyways? Get out of here with those buzzwords right now. And you thought you stung before.
I say, and that's got to sting, especially if they're shaving. Ooh.
Right. I shave and then I just put a lemon wedged in my armpit.
So much fun.
Sprinkle a little salt on there, too. It'll clean it. Yeah. It'll clean it.
You got tequila while you're at it?
There's this huge movement to stop wearing deodorant and antiperspirant. And for me, a person that's completely addicted twice a day, I can't imagine. But I thought that we would put it to the test because it says that if you use it, you're not supposed to apply it every day. You're supposed to apply it every 72 hours, which seems insane to me.
Oh, no.
So I said, why don't we all starting right this very minute.
Oh, okay. No.
Tomorrow, same time, we'll come back and we'll see if we stink.
Spoiler alert.
Big time, yes.
Let's just try. Let's see if we smell after 24 hours, and then we'll decide how much longer we go from there. I'll bring a couple lemons just to be safe.
Oh, just to be safe. Thank goodness.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
All this week, it's the Anna and Raven Roadshow. Ryan Brecklin from NestEggAuction.com. He's an auctioneer and appraiser. He's here looking over the items that you submitted all last week, and there are thousands of items in my email box. But this one got my attention because Jan titled the email, Suckered or Sitting Pretty. She said she bought this at an estate auction, but she doesn't know if it's real or not. It's a sculpture, and I try to look at it, and it just looks like a skinny lady that's made out of iron. I don't know. What's the deal with this thing, Ryan?
Okay, so from the pictures, it looks like it's a bronze, and it looks like it's an artist, a very, very famous modern artist named Giacometti. Bronzes and sculptures from Giacometti bring millions of dollars.
What?
What?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What?
Many millions of dollars.
Okay. So how do you know that this is the real thing and not like a copy?
Yeah, so he did some really big installations. Those are the ones that bring millions. And he did sculptures that were one of a kinds and then sometimes multiples as well. So when you see a bronze, that bronze isn't sculpted out of bronze. The artist makes a maquette. So they will make the sculpture out of clay or plaster, whatever their medium is, and then create a mold. And then they pour bronze into that mold. It's the lost wax process. I'm not going to get into it here. But after that's done, it's possible to take one of the artist's original casts, one of those three or six pieces, and make another mold. And those are considered recasts. And sometimes the artist makes those extra ones to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he wants to give one to a friend. Sometimes he wants to put a little in his retirement account, too, so that he could sell some later. Knowing the addition of the bronze, where it was cast, when it was cast, and then examining the details are part of the puzzle. That's like the start. If you have the magical word we've been talking about, a provenance,
right,
and you know where it was bought. Did you buy it from this artist's dealer? Did you get it at an exhibition in Paris?
Find it in his mom's closet.
Right.
If you already know that, then half the battle is won. But if you don't, if you've lost provenance, you have to get it authenticated. Some artists, there's no way to authenticate. There's no authority. In this case, Giacometti has a committee. It is in France. You can pick up your statue, go on an airplane with it, and bring it to them for authentication, and they will tell you yay or nay.
Because she said, I was supplied a certificate for insurance value, but haven't been able to authenticate. So, I mean, if this is for real, worth like $1 million, get on a plane and go to France, right?
Well, the first step is to take French lessons.
Right, so that you know exactly what they're actually saying, right? So somebody can't take advantage of it. Like, because I'm thinking about now, year before, like a review board. Is there going to be a test of wits? Will I have to, you know, show feats of strength or whatever? Is it going to be a week long? Is it going to take 2 hours, 15 minutes for them to look at it? Or will they need to look at it for months?
I did it. I was lucky because I only had to go to London. Got on a plane with a painting, flew to London, got off the plane, walked up to an apartment, knocked on the door and said, hi, is this real? They said, yes, thank you. We'd like to buy it.
Wow.
Perfect. That works. Yeah. But of course, they all spoke English there.
Right.
So would you suggest that Jan does this? I mean, for real? Like $1 million this thing could be worth?
So hundreds of thousands if it's right, because this is a smaller version and not a museum piece. Let's put it that way. But it does have collector value if it's real. Now, I checked into it. The committee is closed. During COVID, they closed. You can't go see them. You can't do anything. But if you send them an email with very good pictures, I'm sure they will be able to give you a simple yay or nay. And if they say, we need you to bring it here for us to look at it, that's a really good sign.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
All right. That's awesome.
Better go with a bodyguard.
That's exciting. All this week, it's the Anna and Raven Roadshow. Ryan Brecklin from NestEggAuction.com is here. He's an auctioneer. He's an appraiser. All last week, we collected your items through email. Pictures, any information, descriptions you had. And now, let's see if they're worth any money. Now, Allison, full disclosure, is my cousin. So I definitely had to have her stuff evaluated. And she sent in this painting that she's had for years. She doesn't even like the painting, but she wants to give it away so badly. She has given me antique radios that she found in old basements through the years because, like, she keeps finding these items that have been passed down to her. But she's been holding on to this, what, how do you say it? Charat painting?
Charat, yep.
Charat. Okay, what's the deal with this?
This is a French artist, Louis Charat, lived from 1903 to 1971. Now, the simple fact is there were a lot of French artists, period. Some of them got very famous. Some of them are very valuable. And some of them just painted every day, all day. Oh, look, a bowl of fruit. Oh, look, a street scene. Oh, look, a naked lady.
Lots of naked ladies.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, choose your subject matter. Right.
Mm-hmm. I believe Louis Chirat did quite a bit of painting somewhere between 1903 and 1971.
Okay.
Not super famous, but of good quality. Nice frame on this piece, a beautiful painting, a nice subject, you know, still life with fruit. And I found a lot of auction records for the artist. You're looking in the range for this piece of about $300 to $400.
All right, that's still a nice score. She was going to literally throw it away.
Yeah, well, you know? Right. Well, that's good. And poor Louis just rolling over in his grave there, probably still painting.
But, yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot of paintings that came in, and obviously we can't get to every single one of them. But if you have a painting, like, what would you say for the amateur person to do to start seeing if it's worth anything?
Probably the first thing is to determine what you have. Is it an oil painting? Is it a watercolor? Or is it just a reproduced print framed under glass?
Mm-hmm.
Once you get past that stage, that's good. One of the next things you could do is try and determine who the artist is. If you can figure out who the artist is, if you can read the signature, or probably the most important thing is provenance. Where did it come from? Who owned it before? And how did it get to where it is now? Once you have the basics, you can start finding out what it's worth and where you can sell it.
All right, we're going to have more from Ryan Brecklin all this week. You can find him online at nesteggauction.com. You're walking down the street, and you look over, and there's that guy mowing the lawn, shirtless. What do you think about that? Like, what do you honestly think about that? Raven, I know that that's... I know that you... Oh, that's what you think? That's what you think? What, you know that it's wrong because you keep bringing it up. I'm always in the front. I don't have my shirt on.
Well, listen.
I don't wear my shirt.
Listen, no. Right or wrong is really not a question. Hot is the thing that's going on there, mm-hmm. right? I mean, temperature-wise, it's just warm outside. Especially, you know, when you first get out there with the lawn care, maybe you're not in, you know, playing shape. It's like if you retire from the NFL or the NBA, you come back. You're going to be a little bit pudgy early on, right? You're going to be a little bit winded. You're going to sweat a little bit more. And at the beginning of the season, when you first get out there and start working on your yard, it's going to be the same. Way, so you get hot.
Raven has been talking about the fact that he's always shirtless in the front lawn, and I'm like, yeah, obviously the fact that you keep bringing it up means that you're looking for approval from me, and you know I'm not going to give it because you know that I think, like, just put on a shirt, put on a t-shirt. I don't understand.
I can remember growing up and being horrified by the visual of my, you know, dad in the front yard.
Right. That's why you would see.
He would wear these cut jean shorts, too. And they were like short, man. Yep. I mean, it was like the 70s, the 80s then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my other dad, he would go out there and he would mow the lawn with dress socks on. That was great.
Raven's wife, Alicia, is on the line. Alicia, what do you think about Raven in the front yard shirtless?
I think it would look better if he stopped eating cake.
That's just hurtful.
I think it's a little odd. Like, when I walk by other neighbors and the guy's out there with no shirt on mowing, I'm like, why?
Right.
Why are you? What if I did that?
Yeah, no, you're allowed, though. I told you, you can do whatever you want. And if you feel
because
comfortable
you know
with that.
She's not going to.
No. I'm not going to be the one to put rules on her. That's all I'm saying. Whether she's going to or not going to, I'm not the person who's going to restrict her.
Paul wears
in any
a shirt.
Way.
Paul knows he has to wear a shirt when he's working outside.
Only because you've yelled at him over and over and over again.
I just think there's something inappropriate about a guy being half naked in the lawn, like doing the work, like hanging off a ladder. One, it's dangerous. What if you scratch yourself?
Wait a minute. You're safer with a shirt on when you're on a ladder?
Yes.
What nonsense is that?
If you scratch yourself, right, and you don't have that thin layer of protection between your body and this, what's going to happen? You're going to take a slice. You're going to slice your chest.
Look at all the scrapes that are on my arms right now. This is from lawn care. They're on my arms, on my lower arms.
Now, what if that was right across your heart? Plus, nobody wants to see that.
You guys are crazy.
This is a matter of preference. So if I lost 30 pounds, you'd have no problem with me being in the front yard. Is that what you're saying, babe? Like an Adonis?
I don't think anybody should be shirtless in the front yard. The backyard's different.
Oh, I thought she was going to say, I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. I was going to be like, hey, girl.
No, it's not nice, what she said.
Nice compliment. Huh? I'm going to remember it that way, the way I heard it.
I'm looking at our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. Dan wrote, I've known Raven a while. He is a hairy guy. but he's also one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. So it's okay. What is that?
I got a great personality.
Anything?
I got a great personality.
So it's fine.
He gave me the best sideways compliment he could give me, right? I love that guy.
He's like, he's really hairy, and it's probably weird, but
I'm going to have to say thank you, buddy.
Very nice. Raven keeps talking about how he always loves to be shirtless when working in the yard. But
it's hot.
He admits that he doesn't feel comfortable doing it. And I think that if you're going to be outside in the yard, put on a shirt.
No, I feel comfortable. I just know that the rest of the neighborhood might be like, what is this dude doing?
1-800-330-9999 or taking a poll. Do you think Raven should wear a shirt when he's working outside?
Raven, keep your shirt off.
Keep it off.
Yeah, no shirt. Why do you have to wear a shirt in the front lawn?
All right. Thank you.
You don't have to.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You feel so you feel uncomfortable doing it. You know every time you take off that shirt, you're looking all around to see who's looking at you. Why do you do it?
I laugh to myself. I say, I'm that guy now. I'm that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Raven, what do you think? Is it cool if I leave my shirt off while I'm working in the front yard?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you don't wear a shirt at the beach.
You know what? I like the fact that you're so comfortable with yourself, sir, that you can say it out loud. See?
Mm-hmm.
It was the strength amongst the bros.
Kathy wrote on our Facebook page, as long as he's not strolling around in a thong. Well, this is just a gateway. Taking this shirt is a gateway drug to Raven wearing a thong. I'm saying it right now. Mark my words. Anna and Raven, what do you think? Raven shirtless in the yard? What do you think?
I think a shirtless golf. But I would like to know, why does he want to be shirtless?
I mean, I like the sun, to feel the sun, the warmth upon the sun across my skin. It's wonderful.
You feel the sun.
No. I just feel heat. That's like radiant heat. I want it directly to me. These solar panels are open.
No. And on Raven, you think Raven should put a shirt on?
I don't think so. I love working in my garden and cutting my lawn without a shirt. Now, totally nude? I don't know. That's a different story. Go get yourself some vitamin D and enjoy yourself.
That's right. The sun. I told you. It's good.
I know you're not wearing sunscreen.
No.
I know you're not.
Definitely not.
Anna and Raven, what do you think? Raven, should we put on a shirt?
No, let the man live. Let the man go shirtless.
I'm not trying to kill him. I'm just trying to put on a Hanes white t-shirt.
She's trying to dim my light, though, man. You recognize that, and I appreciate you for it.
Oh, man. Keep him free. All right, have a good one.
Anna and Raven, what do you think? You got a problem with me leaving my shirt off in the front yard?
Yeah, he looks like a damn gorilla. I mean, come on, bro. Like, I don't want to see that. Harry Larry? What is his name? Harry Larry, right? Ew.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Who's Harry Larry?
I don't know if it's a Harry Larry.
Let me look.
A famous Harry Larry out there, not sure I know him, but wow. That's
Harry
hurtful.
Larry.
Listen,
like
I want
parrot.
You to picture your favorite actor. Who is your favorite on-screen actor right now?
Brad Pitt.
Okay. Brad Pitt is out front. Once upon a time in Hollywood, when he goes up on the roof to fix the antenna, I mean, for an old dog, he still looks pretty great.
Are you
huh?
seriously comparing yourself to Brad Pitt?
I'm just saying, if Brad Pitt was your neighbor, it's okay for Brad Pitt, but it's not okay for me. That's all I'm saying.
Harry Larry is a bunny, an animated bunny that doesn't look very hairy at all.
Tell me nothing else. And Ann Raven, what do you think? Should I be allowed to work with my shirt off in the front yard?
No.
That's a guy telling you no. Why?
Come
Why
on,
not?
Man.
I don't know. Just a form of decency. Like, you don't want the neighbors checking it out. Like, what if you got like a plunging gut?
I mean, I don't have a plunging gut, all right? But, you know, I've got a little bit of a gut. I got a dad gut, you know, typical dad gut. But what I do have is a sweater that never comes off.
It's very hairy. Very, very hairy. Yeah.
And I haven't had my bushes trimmed so
Good.
Far this year yet.
Fantastic.
If you know what I mean, you catch my drift there.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah.
Once that's cleaned up, then we're good.
It's another Bigfoot then, sighting. My, I saw Bigfoot mowing his lawn.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you get to decide who's right. Lana and Jim. Lana, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
Hi. So before we start, I just want to say I'm a big fan of the show. But what happened this Mother's Day is really upsetting. My kids are 14, 12, and 10, so old enough to do something sweet for Mother's Day. But once again, my kids and my husband did not do anything for Mother's Day. No card, no lunch, not even saying Happy Mother's Day.
What?
And it just kind of... yeah, it made me feel invisible, and it made me feel like they didn't even care about me. And I brought it up to Jim, and, you know, Jim said I'm overreacting, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, fine, okay, I'm just not going to participate in holidays. I'll show up, but I won't organize Christmas. I won't organize the family 4th of July barbecue. Like, I do a lot of planning for the family. I'm just going to show up and, like, expect everything to be done.
Wow. Jim, is this true? I mean, you got your wife nothing? You didn't encourage the kids to do anything for Mother's Day? Is that true?
Well, I mean, it's...
Just tell me, is it true? Did you not get your wife a gift? Not anything for Mother's Day?
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's weird for me to, you know, kind of engage in that way. She's not my mom, but she's the mother of my kids. But, I was hoping that they would kind of spring into action, the three of them, and just surprise her in the sense of just being like, thanks for being our mom, or just like write it like a sweet little card at school and like wait till the weekend. And
so I mean, you left it to the teacher to make sure that it happened for your wife. Lana, how long has this been going on?
Nothing's happened in 3 years.
3 years that you don't even acknowledge her from Mother's Day. You know what? I'm with you.
Yeah.
Cancel Christmas.
You know what I mean? I think that you deserve to do whatever it is that you want, to tell you the truth, to make the decision whatever you want. I mean, it's hard for me to figure out what would be the compelling argument going the opposite way on that. But, okay. I mean, I suppose your children supposedly don't know better.
Well,
right?
I want to say, Jim, that I feel like this is kind of your fault. No, not kind of. This is your fault. Like, you have to step up. If you know that your children are unable or unwilling or whatever.
Or not paying attention.
Yes. Like, it's like, you know, not on their radar because they're playing Fortnite or whatever. Like, don't you think you should get involved and say, hey, we need to make mom feel special? Or you take over the rest of the holidays. She's right.
I mean, I can understand, like, this holiday, but, I mean, you can't just turn the calendar off on all the other ones. That's just ruining the happiness of the morale of the house.
Yes, I can. If I'm invisible and not appreciated, then take over the holidays yourself. I'll just show up and expect everything to be done. I don't have to keep doing things in order not even to receive a thank you.
Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Lana. It's an ultimate slap in the face. And since you do all the planning for the other holidays that everybody enjoys, now you're not going to. You're taking a year off, and let's see what happens next Mother's Day. But they may see Jim's side, too, that, you know, it's up to the kids, really, to acknowledge you. They didn't do it, but they're still young. They're 10, 12, and 14. Not that young, but that doesn't mean you should punish them for it. Maybe punish Jim.
This is all insane. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
When I originally got the email, I was like, this lady's nuts.
Until you were like, this didn't happen.
Right. I was like, but I even like, who... What mother cancels all the holidays for her kids and says, I'm not doing Christmas, I'm not doing Thanksgiving? You know what? The mom that hasn't had a Mother's Day in 3 years because her three kids, aged 10, 12, and 14, and her husband don't do anything for her.
No, like, cards.
Nothing for
no
Mother's
candy,
Day.
No candy. No flowers. No nothing. I mean, they didn't even say Happy Mother's Day this past time. Were they not in the house?
I don't know.
It's crazy to me that Jim would even allow this to go on in his house, and then it doesn't have really any sort of valid excuse.
Well, he says that she's not the mom to him. You know, it doesn't make
come
sense.
Come on now. I mean, I'm married. There's no relationship where that is not true, where your spouse is not somewhat your mother or somewhat your father. They're definitely your partner.
If you're not following, if you missed it, Lana has decided that she is canceling all the holidays for the rest of the year. Well, she's not canceling them. She's just not doing them.
She's
like
not
going to
partake.
Does.
Yeah. Right. She'll show up.
Because for the last 3 years, her three children and her husband have not done anything to plan special days for her on Mother's Day. And this past year was no exception. Jim thinks she's overreacting, and the kids are little. What do you want them to do? They're young. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court.
I'm on her side. Why? Because as a mother, all you do is take care of your children. It's not much to ask for one day that your husband what you do for the family. Every holiday and everything for those children. For one time, all he has to do is make you feel good for one day.
Like, how would that kid feel if mommy just missed your birthday? You know, like, right. I'm going to go right over
exactly.
it this
well,
year.
Well, don't worry.
Exactly. Because
she's missing everybody that wasn't born before June. She is missing those birthdays now. Yeah. She has made the decision.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. When you first hear that a mom is canceling all the holidays for the rest of the years as retaliation, you're like, what are you talking about? Like, what mother does that to her three children? Like, what are you talking about? Well, Lana, her three kids, 10, 12, and 14, have not celebrated Mother's Day in the last 3 years. No gifts, no cards. They're too old to make things at school. They don't do anything. They don't plan a single thing. And her husband, Jim, well, he says he doesn't do it either because she's not his mom.
It's absolutely crazy to me. I mean, retribution is not something that you think is going to be in a mother's vocabulary, right? In her background. But, you know, sometimes when you hear something, you say, what? That makes no sense whatsoever. And you honestly get angry for her and want to do something about it, too. You know what? Pulling back the holidays, no July 4th, no Labor Day barbecue, no Thanksgiving, no Christmas. Maybe it's not the worst idea ever because they certainly won't forget it.
Jim says, what do you want from them? They're young. You're making a big deal out of nothing and you're overreacting by this. You know they love you. Do really?
Do you? Do you know that?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on her side. That's terrible. First of all, for it to go for 3 years, he should lead by example. My wife, she's not my mom. I had the dogs give her a card this year.
Right, right. Every year. Every year. Are you kidding me? I can't believe the guy's still living in
Absolutely.
The house.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on the wife's side. This guy does not have a clue on how to be husband, how to be a good father, and she's totally unappreciated, and I think he owes her a big apology, and I think he should be smart enough to get the whole family together and basically apologize and bring her flowers and try to make up for this, because he does not have a clue, and she doesn't. She deserves so much better.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Her side. Well, I mean, there's a saying, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And I don't think it goes just for the holidays. If she's going to be appreciated, you know, maybe she'll find someone who will appreciate her.
I mean, I got to tell you, I think it's the three kids keeping her in the house. And if they can't come up with a gift either at 14, 12, and 10, how long is that going to last?
I just can't imagine my kids not at least, like, scribbling a heart for me or, you know what I mean? Something.
How do you go the whole day without saying
and
anything?
And acknowledging it.
It's on television. It's on the radio. It's in the newspaper. Like, your neighbors are doing it.
How does she allow that?
I don't know.
Step up, Dad.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Lana, our audience agreed with you. Jim, if the kids and you couldn't get together to show her some appreciation for Mother's Day, then she doesn't have to do these other holidays. Now it's on you guys to figure it out.
All right. It is what it is.
Lana, I feel like that's got to make you not feel great. Because even though you won, you really didn't win.
Everybody loses on this one. I have confidence that July 4th, you guys will probably try and pull something off, pull it together. And you'll have some items missing. But I think that when you get down to the bigger holidays later in the year, the thoughts that these guys are going to have are prepared like the way that you would prefer, the way that you do it at your house, impossible. Not really going to happen.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a great win, you know, and it's not about gifts. It's not about doing something. It's just about like, yeah, just acknowledging me and saying thank you. So it's kind of, yeah, a sad win.
Now you got a problem too. Send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $7,500 thanks to Discover Card. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right, Nicole, let's do this, girl. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Okay, Raven, leave the room.
Sure, good luck, Nicole.
All right.
Thank you.
We have $7,500 on the line. Here's how it works. Raven is walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes, I'm nervous, but yes.
Don't be nervous. Big breath. Okay. Remember, if you don't know, just guess. Number one, Billboard Music Awards happened this weekend. Who hosted it?
Sean Diddy's Combs.
Number two, Bridgerton season 3 of Netflix will shift focus to Penelope and Colin straying away from the order of the books based on the series. What author wrote the Bridgerton books?
Julia Quinn.
Number three, one of Nickelodeon's most loved new shows is based on a comic strip originally by Lincoln Pierce following a sixth grader named Nate Wright. What is that show?
Loud House.
Number four, they are making a prequel to The Hunger Games, which will be about President Snow as a young man. Who wrote The Hunger Games?
Oh, my God. Pass.
Number five, Pirates of the Caribbean producer Jerry Bruckheimer says that he does not have any intention of having Johnny Depp return to the franchise following the court proceedings. At Disney World, in which park will you find the Pirates of the Caribbean ride?
Fantasyland.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Only 2 out of 5 for Nicole.
Not great, Nicole. Let's see how I do.
Number one, they were hard. They were hard. Number one, Billboard Music Awards happened this weekend. Who hosted it?
Diddy.
Yes. Number two, Bridgerton Season 3 on Netflix will shift focus to Penelope and Colin straying away from the order of the books based on the series.
Yeah.
What author wrote the Bridgerton books?
Oh, I should know this because my wife is obsessed with the show. And I know it's not Shonda Rhimes who did the screenplay. I don't know.
It's Julia Quinn.
Yeah, I kind of knew that. All right.
You're still in it, Nicole, because these are hard. Number three, one of Nickelodeon's most loved new shows is based on a comic strip originally by Lincoln Pierce following a sixth grader named Nate Wright. What is that show?
I have no idea.
Big Nate. Number four, they're making a prequel to The Hunger Games, which will be about President Snow as a young man. Who wrote The Hunger Games?
Collins.
Yes, Suzanne Collins. I'll give that to you. Mm-hmm. Number five, Pirates of the Caribbean producer Jerry Bruckheimer says that he does not have any intention of having Johnny Depp return to the franchise following the court proceedings. At Disney World, in which park will you find the Pirates of the Caribbean ride?
It's in Magic Kingdom.
Yes. I'm sorry, Nicole. He beat you 3-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Okay, thank you so much. It's Nicole, and I can't beat Raven.
Thanks for trying, Nicole. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. Lucky thing I went to Magic Kingdom last fall, or I would not have known the answer to that.
All right. $7,600 for tomorrow. Thank you to Izzy and Sally. They both submitted questions that I used today. If you have an idea for a question, too, you can submit it at annaandraven.com. Come on, we're getting closer to giving away this cash.
Was a close call.